Questioning Faith, an exposition of Genesis chapter 18, verses 1 through 33. This message by Pastor Rod Harris was delivered at Trinity Baptist Church on Sunday morning, September the 20th, 2009.
Let's pray together. Father, I pray now as we come to your word that you'll open it to us. I pray for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to take the truth of your word and make application to our heart. You'll speak that word that we need to hear, that word that's going to challenge us, that word that will encourage us, that word that will enable us to live the life that you've called us to live. That we would be a people who embrace, who love, who speak the truth of the gospel and the truth of your word. Father, be our teacher now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. It's an important question. It's a question that all of us need to deal with and need to recognize. It's crucial to our spiritual well-being. Is it right to question? I'm talking about your faith. Is it okay to question? Is it okay to wonder or to doubt? Is there something inherently wrong with our questioning whether God is true? Is it wrong to say, did God really say that? Is it wrong to question? Now, certainly, if you listen to modern-day faith teachers, they would say, yes, to have even the slightest doubt is to forfeit the blessing of God. But is that the teaching of the Scripture? Is it true from the Scripture that those who live by faith live life with an unquestioning obedience to the will of God? That they don't even have even the twinge of doubt, that they never are confused or never struggle to believe? Well, see, I don't find a basis in the Scripture, when we look at the lives of biblical saints, that it's wrong when you question. Because when I look at the people in the Scripture, I find they do struggle. In fact, when you look at the life of Abraham, Abraham certainly struggled to believe. There were times when he was very uncertain. There were times when he wondered, did I really hear what I thought I heard? He did struggle to believe. And yet, at the end of the day, what is he known for? His faith. He's known as the father of faith. But even more incredible than that, he's known as the friend of God. Now, the interesting thing is, there's only three references to that in all of Scripture, and none of them are in the narrative of his life. It's in other passages. For instance, there is reference in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 7. There is another reference in James chapter 2 and verse 23. The most interesting or the most significant to me is in Isaiah 41 and verse 8, where God himself refers to Abraham as his friend. Yet, Abraham struggled. There were times he wondered. Yes, Abraham struggled to believe. Yes, there were times he had doubt. The problem is not in your questioning. The problem is not in your struggle. The issue is, what do you do with your questions? How do you handle your doubts? It's a matter of struggling in order to understand. In fact, questions can become the basis of a solid faith. It is often in the questioning and then the finding of the answer that you find really a solid foundation upon which to build your life. That's the lesson we're going to learn from Genesis chapter 18. Our text is found in Genesis chapter 18. We're going to look at down through verse 33, but I want to begin by just looking at the first 14 verses. Look with me, Genesis 18, beginning in verse 1. And the Lord appeared to him, that is Abraham, by the oaks of Mamre, as he sat at the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing in front of him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and he bowed himself to the earth and said, O Lord, if I have found favor in your sight, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree, while I bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant. So they said, do as you've said. And Abraham went quickly into the tent to Sarah and said, quick, 3 seahs of fine flour, knead it and make cakes. And Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to his young man, who prepared it quickly. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, where is Sarah, your wife? And he said, she's in the tent. The Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind him. Now, Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, after I'm worn out and my Lord is old, shall I have pleasure? The Lord said to Abraham, why did Sarah laugh and say, shall I indeed bear a child now that I'm old? Is anything too hard for the Lord? So we're going to walk through this passage together. The thing that I want you to understand, the thing that I want you to take away from this passage is biblical answers to legitimate questions form a solid foundation for genuine faith. Biblical answers for legitimate questions forms a solid foundation upon which you stand, upon which you believe. Your faith is built on the answers to your legitimate questions. What is it the writer of Hebrews says? Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. It's surety. It's substance. It's evidence of things that you can't see, that you don't have in your hand, that you can't measure. But how do you get there? How in the world do you come to such confidence? How does it arise from doubts and fears and frustration? How is it that you move from uncertainty to certainty? I mean, we live in a fallen world. We live in a world of corruption. We are surrounded by all kinds of evil and wickedness. And we are trying to live by faith. We are trying to do those things that God has called us to do. And we find ourselves swimming upstream. We find ourselves fighting against the crowd. We find ourselves in the minority. How can you have such confidence? How can you be so certain, surrounded by uncertainty? When everything in your world says, no, that can't be true. When everything around you says, that's foolish to believe. How do you believe? How do you have faith? How do you arrive at such confidence? Well, that's what we're going to learn from this chapter. In Genesis chapter 18, Abraham plays host to 3 very interesting visitors. Look again at verses 1 and 2. The Lord, and notice that's capital letters. So Yahweh, the God of Abraham, appeared to him by the oaks of Mamre as he sat in the door of his tent in the heat of the day. He lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, 3 men were standing in front of him. Now, how are we supposed to understand that? Do we understand this to be a single event, or is it 2 separate things? There are those that say, well, the Lord appeared to him, and then subsequent to that, he had this experience of these visitors. I don't think that's it at all. I think the Lord appeared to him in the coming of these 3 visitors. I think that's the most natural reading of the text. The Lord appeared to him. The Lord came to him in this way. He's sitting in the tent in the heat of the day, in the doorway, looking out, and all of a sudden, 3 men come walking toward him. They appear to him, and he runs to greet them. He recognizes that they're coming to him. The word appear simply is the common word for seeing or looking. But it becomes clear as you read through this passage, these are not ordinary men. There's something extraordinary about them. Now, there are those that say, well, these 3 men are obviously the Trinity. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. I don't think that's true. I don't think the text merits that. But I do believe that what we have in this passage is a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus with 2 angels. I believe that the Lord Jesus is coming to Abraham on this occasion because it's crucial, it's central into the building of his faith and making him the man that he's ultimately going to be. The Lord Jesus comes with these two angels, the two angels who are going to be in chapter 19 to go and destroy the area of Sodom and Gomorrah. These three visitors come and he sees them and he runs out and he says, bows down before him and says, oh, please come by, come stay at my house. Let me give you something to refresh yourself. He's wanting to play host to them. And they agree to it. But here's what I want you to focus on. Look beginning in verse 9. Where is Sarah, your wife? She's in the tent. Then the Lord said, I will surely return to you about this time next year, and Sarah, your wife, shall have a son. And Sarah was listening at the tent door behind. And now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in years. The way of women had ceased to be with Sarah. So Sarah laughed. Do you notice how the writer is trying to be diplomatic about the fact they're old? They're old, they're advanced in years. The way of women have left her. He's trying to say, she is well beyond having a child. She's old. Really old. Way beyond having children. And what was her reaction? How did Sarah react to this news? She laughed. Do you blame her? Do you look at that and say, now that's unreasonable. She should never doubt the Lord when the Lord... Come on. From the time that Abraham was called, God promised a child. And he restated it again and again and again. But there's been no child. It's difficult sometimes to believe. It's difficult sometimes to trust. The most recent reassurance was in chapter 17, where the Lord basically says to Abraham, look, I am the Lord Almighty, and I'm going to do what I said I would do. And now the Lord says, I'm going to come back a year from now, and by then you're going to have a child. And she laughed. Wouldn't you have? Now you may say, no, Pastor, I would have believed. Really? You know, I find it, the longer I live and the older I get, the harder it is for me to be critical of people in the Scripture when I read this. You know what our problem is? You and I know the story. You and I have the benefit of the whole record, and we're going, gee, God spoke directly to you. How could you not believe? God has spoken directly to us. How do we not believe? God has made Himself clear. He's spoken many things to us, yet you and I struggle. And we have the benefit of their experience. You and I have the benefit of this impossible thing happening to them. She heard and she laughed. Now, why did she laugh? Please, when you hear that she laughed, don't just think of it in terms of, that's funny, I'm going to have a kid. That's not the kind of laugh it is. It's the kind of laugh that is a scoffing laugh. It's frustration. Let me translate it the way I think it happened. She's standing inside the tent door, trying to hear the conversation. And she hears the Lord say, I'll be back next year and your wife will have a child. And she doesn't go, that's cute. I think she says, that's about my luck. Here I've wanted a child all these years. God said I'm going to have one. And wouldn't you know it, now that I'm this old and I don't have the strength and I don't have the energy and I no longer are interested in it, I'm going to have a child. Hear the frustration. Hear the anger. And hear her scoff. foolish, ridiculous, impossible, not going to happen. We're old. We're well beyond this. It will not happen. And so when she's confronted with her unbelief about her laughing, she denies it. She says, oh, I didn't laugh. No, that I didn't do that at all. Now understand that they're old, but also understand this is 24 years after being promised it would come. So it's not just they're old. They've waited 24 years and seen nothing. Would you struggle to believe? Now, did the Lord change His mind because of her unbelief? He said, I'm telling you, 1 year from now, I'll be back and you'll have a child. Is anything impossible for me? That's an important question. You see, what we have going on in this passage, what we're dealing with in this passage is a question of divine ability. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is that a legitimate question? You bet it is. Who asked the question? God did. Why did He ask it? Because they needed to consider the truth. Is your situation hopeless? Are your circumstances impossible? Are you faced with circumstances in your life that you don't see any way out of it? Are you faced with a circumstance that all you can see is the worst possible scenario playing out and you're overwhelmed by it? Well, great. Because faith is born in those circumstances. It's nurtured. It's cared for. If you will ask this question and get the answer from the Scripture, is anything impossible for your God? To ask the question is to answer it. No. Nothing is impossible for Him. If He spoke and a world came into existence, if He holds all things together by the power of His might, if every hair on your head is numbered, if every star He knows by name, if a sparrow cannot fall from the sky but then He takes note of it, then nothing that faces you is beyond His power. And nothing is impossible for Him. So I don't tell you don't question. I'm begging you, question and get the answer. Second, look at verse 16 down through verse 19, because there's another question. This is a question of divine grace. Verse 16. Then the men set out from there, and they looked down towards Sodom. And Abraham went with them to set them on their way. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. For I have chosen him, that he may command his children and his household after him to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice, so that the Lord may bring to Abraham what He has promised him. A question of divine grace. Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Now see, I say it's a question of divine grace because God did not owe him an explanation. God in no way is obligated to reveal to Abraham what He's about to do, because Sodom is a wicked place and He is going to bring judgment against them righteously. His judgment is right and true. And He's under no obligation to explain Himself to anyone. But He chose to make it known to Abraham. Why? So that Abraham could have insight into the character of God. So that Abraham could better know God. So it would bring him along in his relationship with God, an understanding of this one that he has believed and trusted. It is a furthering of their relationship. It is a building into his life an understanding of the greatness and the glory and the holiness of God. And by the knowledge that he gained, he's able to teach and warn others. It is a matter of grace. Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? Why is that an important question? Does it matter really to us? You bet it does. Because this is the God who speaks through James and says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God. In what context? You look at James chapter 1, and what is the context in which God says that? Through James. In the context of being overwhelmed by trial and tribulation, by struggle and heartache. If you lack wisdom, what kind of wisdom? Wisdom in dealing with tragedy, wisdom in dealing with heartache, wisdom in dealing with the hell that's going on in your life. Ask God, who gives to all generously and without rebuke. You know what that means? James is saying, if you're struggling because your world is crashing down around you, if you're struggling because all hell's broken loose in your world and you can't make sense of it, you need to ask God, because God makes himself known without a lecture. He reveals himself because he's a God of grace. And he wants you to know him. And he wants you to trust him. So he makes himself known. Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do? No. I'm going to reveal myself so he can understand me. A third thing. That was a legitimate question, and God himself asked it. Now look at verse 20 down through verse 25. Then the Lord said, because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me, and if not, I will know. So the men turned from there and went towards Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous fair as the wicked. Far be it from you, shall not the judge of all the earth do what is just? Our third question. A question of divine justice. Shall the Lord of all the earth do what is just or what is right? This time, it is a legitimate question, and Abraham raised it. Here's the question. Can God be trusted? Now think about it. I want you to think about all three of these questions and understand it's not minor. These are not insignificant questions. First one was, can God pull it off? Does God have enough power to do it? The second, does God hide things from his people or does he reveal himself? And the third, can I trust him? Still think it's wrong to question? Still think it's wrong to wonder? You put these three questions together, they go to the heart of who God is. It's to question God at the deepest level. But here's what I want you to see. When you have honest questions and you seek an answer and God answers your question, then you have a solid basis on which to stand. You struggle? You wonder? Are you overwhelmed? I plead with you, ask and answer these three questions. When you do, what are you left with? A God who is able to do the impossible. A God who can and will be known. A God who can be trusted. That is a foundation upon which you can stand. That is a basis for genuine faith. Questioning faith when it's an honest question. Seeking to understand becomes the basis of a sure and certain faith. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you for making yourself known. I thank you that you do reveal yourself to us. I thank you that you're a God who is secure in who He is, and so He's not threatened. Our questioning does not threaten your throne. Our questioning does not threaten your being. Because you're not a figment of our imagination. Because you're not something that we made up. You are the God who is. The Eternal One. Creator of all things. Sustainer. Redeemer. You are life. And so, Father, I pray that in the midst of our struggling, when we doubt, when we fear, when we're overwhelmed, grant to us the courage to question and answer so that we might stand. Father, I pray that the truths that enabled Abraham, a man of flesh and bone, who stumbled and struggled to believe, to become the father of faith and the friend of God, that same trust would be granted to us, that we may stand fixed, immovable, because of your grace. Grant to us the willingness and the ability to believe. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've been listening to a Plowman podcast. Find us on the web at theplowman.org. The Plowman features the preaching ministry of Rod Harris, pastor of Trinity Baptist Church in Tulsa, Oklahoma, located at the corner of 41st and Union. To learn more about the ministries at Trinity Baptist Church, visit us on the web at www.tbctulsa.org.